struggle. Then after that, he was cast to this earth. And the Bible says a third of the stars, that means demons, his followers, came to this earth. And Revelation tells us that we are the body here. He comes to wear out the saints. He can't do nothing to try to wear you out. It's all he can do. But see, God said, then God put man, and he said, take dominion. He said, subdue the earth, take dominion, multiply, have as many kids as you can afford. Get married. Not man to man, not woman to woman. Get married. Have as many kids as you. That's God. Hallelujah. Children are a blessing. Well, then God took care of Satan up there. He kicked him out. And then he tells us to subdue him down here. God's done subdued him through Jesus Christ. And you might not know it, but God's got a call on your life. And you've wondered about fitting in, even here. And then you determined the will of God. And I don't know, you ain't told me none of that stuff. But I know for 3 or 4 days you've been coming up before me in my heart and in my mind. And God said, I've chosen him. I've given him a heart. You might not even have it yet. It might not be manifest yet what I'm telling you. But he said, you have a heart for young people. And then I could see you and mentors. Just you've only had really just maybe one or two good mentors that you put your trust and your confidence in my spirit. That's what I saw. He said, in the same way you felt and feel about your mentors, he said, is the same way that they're going to feel about you as you mentor them. And you can lay that up on the shelf, pray about it, see what God's saying to you about it. But I believe it's confirmation to you. And you might not even think I could ever be a preacher. Because you look at you. He said, but I put a call, he said, and I know what I can do. God don't look at mine in your ability. He looks at our availability to him. And then he determined. So you watch in the future. You watch in the future. As you pursue and walk and go after God and obey God in what the way you're doing, things will begin to evolve and open up for you. And you will look back and you will say, what Satan meant to destroy me with, God turned it into strength, and I am walking in the fullness of God now. And you will give God glory because you will know that it's not by your ability and your strength. It's by the calling and the ability of God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. But there's no power struggle. And you know what? Don't take it as God has not got a plan for you. I don't care if you are a year and a half old right now or you are 120 years old. God has a plan of his own that he already orchestrated in the heavenlies, and that is why he woos me and you to him even while we were yet sinners. He woos us to him. He brings us in. He begins to quicken to us. He begins to reveal to us purpose. We live our life with purpose when we go after him because he puts his purpose and his plans into our hearts and begins to reveal them. And then that is what begins to fulfill mankind. Mankind will not be filled without God's glory in their lives. They will live life empty, wishing that the next year will be better, wishing that somebody would give me a break so that I can have, so that I can enjoy life. No, I'm telling you, he already gave you a break. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords in this earth. We are kings and priests unto God. So if you're here under the sound of my voice and or listening, we're all over the world. You know, we've been that way for a lot of years. That was God. I can look back today and just like he was telling him, and I can say, God, I never saw your plan coming. God, I didn't know that that was going to happen. But one day, God, you begin to cause me to feel like there was more. If you've ever felt like there was more of God or more from God, that is God. And then God birthed that thing worldwide. But if you're here today and you're lost without Jesus, maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus. I've knew people that went to church for years and years and years and then come into a place to where they hear the preaching of the gospel and realize that they have never given their heart to Jesus Christ and get born of the Spirit of God. Surrender their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So if you're here, where I can go on with this sermon, if you're here and you've not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, this is your day. This could be the best day of the rest of your life. Don't listen to religious people that don't have a relationship with Jesus and they are unhappy and look at them and say, if that's Christianity, I don't want it, because Jesus is real and he will come into your life and he will give you a sparkler, so to speak, pray God, that won't burn out. So if you're here this morning, you say, I've never given my heart to Jesus, I want you to pray for me. I'm ready to surrender to him. I want to make him the Lord of my life. I want to have his life living in me. Slip your hand up. God bless that hand. Or you're here and you say, I'm backslid. Don't tell me you can't backslide. It's all in the Bible. I'm backslid. What that means is you used to be after the Lord Jesus. You used to go after the kingdom. You used to do and go after the things of the kingdom, and you're not doing it anymore. It's called backslidden in heart. Even going to church, you can go to church and feel like that's your duty and all of that. That's what they did in the wilderness, and they died in the wilderness. They didn't get the promises of God. So our walk has to be an ongoing, you know, relationship with the Lord Jesus. And if you've lost that and you say, I'm ready to give my heart back to Jesus this morning, praise God, I want you to pray for me. If that's you, slip your hand up. Any more? God bless those hands all over the house. Praise God. Father, we just praise you. Just everybody bow their heads this morning. Close your eyes and bow your heads. This is God's time. These warriors are coming back. These warriors for God are coming back, just like Ezekiel with the dry bones. Those that lifted their hands this morning, God's the only one that can do that. No man comes unless he draws. Praise God. And they're warriors that are giving their hearts back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, just pray this after me. You that raised your hands, mean it from your own heart. It's not a seven-step thing that you say. It's just your heart surrendering back to the Lord. Just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for your forgiveness and your blood. I don't deserve it, but God, that's your mercy and that's your love and that's your grace that you're extending to me. Father, forgive me. Lord, quicken me in my inner man once again. Come into my life. Take my life and do something with it. And from this day on, with your help, I will follow you. I will seek your kingdom in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise this morning. Hallelujah. 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 And thank you all that give your heart to Jesus. My heart is rejoicing. And I truly mean that this morning, praise God, because we really are praying and have been praying for you, all of you here and all of you that's come and all of them that will come. We're praying that God's kingdom come in this place as it is in heaven. We're praying, God, send all of those that you've appointed and anointed to this place, God. God, send them so that they can fulfill your desires in their life, Lord, and they can help us fill our desires in our life, and we will help them, Father. And we're believing that you are part of that. Hallelujah. I was just getting into the sermon a little bit this morning, and I got up and I got real upset with Satan. Y'all didn't get upset with him this morning. I took up some slack for you. And so I went on there and I put it on Facebook. You know, if you're sick, I don't know. I'm not going word for word. It was just coming out of my spirit. I thought, you know what? We're not scared here at Faithway Christian. So I put it all over newsfeed. The Republicans are doing it. The Democrats are doing it. Why not me? Just flood the news feeds with something other than that. Left and right and neutral and independent. We are one. But I put on there, if you got bedridden, bring them to Faithway Christian Center. If you've got lame, bring them. If you've got backslidden, demon possessed, demon oppressed, if you got sick, bring them. Bring them on stretchers. They took them to Jesus on stretchers and tore the roof off, right? And I told Satan, I said, listen to me, sir. If you are one, you have messed with the wrong guy for 30-something years, and I'm going to reverse the church back to its right order to where they are running to sickness and disease. They're running to the devil. They're taking it to him instead of running from him. Because I found out through the Word of God, I've noticed over my walk with the Lord, I'm not talking about being religious. Satan knows the Bible. He quoted it to Jesus Christ, right? He quoted the scripture. I'm talking about when you are in the Word and you're saying, God, take your Word and write it upon the tables of my heart, God, that it's not in my head, that it's in my heart, that, Lord, let it come alive on the inside of me where it pushes me to the things of the kingdom. Well, what I've watched over the years of being a Christian in church and evangelizing streets and in jails and nursing homes and hospitals, I've been to prisons and preached the gospel and all of that. And what I have noticed is the a lot of Christians say, I know what the Word says, but... There's a problem right there. If Jesus said, I lay hands on the sick and they recover, if you're sick in this place, but God, I just believe if I lay hands on you, He will do what He said He will do. I'm not afraid you won't get healed. Right? If you've got demons oppressing you and you know it, well, then the Bible says, I cast them out. You cast them out. We. There's enough of us believers in here. Then don't, but we're not afraid of demons. I'm not afraid of COVID and flu and cancer. I'm not afraid of arthritis. A lot of it has attacked me, you know, and all of that. I drove someone out the last couple of weeks. I didn't miss one day of work. But God, I told that you ain't going to dictate how I live. We can't be afraid that something good is not going to happen if we go forward in Jesus' name. Just going forward in Jesus' name, is you will automatically be taking authority over demons in your life. Demons are afraid of me. Demons are afraid. Are you afraid to say it? Are they afraid of you or not? The Bible says they are. They said you give your heart to Jesus. You're submitted to God. Don't think because you are not perfect in the flesh that you are not submitted to God. Don't think because you don't cross every T and dot every I that Satan just has authority over. That's not the way this thing works. Jesus told them messed up bunch, Peter and all of them was messed up. He told them, he said, y'all are going in my name. Y'all are going in my authority. Y'all are going in my ability and cast out devils, heal the sick. So he had to take the Word of God and they had to renew their mind to the Word of God just like me and you do. They had to start thinking, I'm not a fisherman anymore, I'm a new creation. I'm not a garage door installer, I'm a new creation. I've been doing that for 30 years. I've been on the same job for 31 or 2 or 3 years. But you know what? I told Teresa the other day, me and her has arrived to some places. I told her the other day, I said, you know what? I said, my heart gives glory to God. I said, I can go back down when I read that Bible and I wondered if it would really happen for me. I wondered if I could really have a good marriage. I wondered if God could bless me going in and out in the city and the field like Deuteronomy 28 says. I wondered really if I could live John 10:10, Richard, that says that God, Jesus come that I might have life and have it more abundant. I wondered if I would ever be free financially. But at the same time, had to say, if God said it in His Word, then I don't care what my mind says. I don't care what my church says. I don't care what people say, what they experience. The Word of God says, I am the head and not the tail. I will lend and not borrow. I might be under right now. I might not have a dime to lend anybody right now. But that Word right there is going to happen in my life. And you know what? We was going down the road and I looked at Teresa and she said, well, I would like to have a house, build it and tailor make it one day, and that's all we want. We don't even want it because we got the money to do it. And I don't need the bank. I don't need the bank. You don't need the bank. You ain't got no troubles. All you need is faith in God. But you can't agree with the devil and have God's glory. You can't agree with him and say, well, I'm just a worm. Well, I'm just poor old me. I just come from a family of 17. I did. I stole all the yellow box, didn't I, Pat? I was the littlest one in my family. When Daddy come up once a month, maybe seems like with some yellow block, but God, I grabbed the brown paper bag and I went all the way under where the chickens couldn't get and they couldn't get to me and eat them all. True story. And they're all out there, they're going to kill me. And after I'd eat them, I think I'm dead meat, man. I'm telling you, they hung me off of bluffs and everything over there. Threatened to kill me and drop me by my feet if I told Daddy. But I told him anyways. But you know what, praise God? See, your success is not money. It's Jesus. Your healing is not the doctors. It's Jesus. It's the Word. Take that Word, black God, and I mean you stand. I told Satan just the other day, I said, I'm learning, Satan, how to stand right in the middle of trouble and just whack your head off. And I'm going to take it to the body of Christ down there as I learn and as I discipline myself, as I walk in what the Word of God says. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to tell them not out of any gain to me, that if they will do what I did, what Jesus did, what Paul did, what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did in that Bible, take God at His Word and go and follow Him, they will have a supply. I told her we're going down the road and me and her, we're giving glory to God. We're not over our boy. I'm going to go to the church and just tell them everything so they can see how spiritual we've been. No, what you don't understand is we've been down there with nothing and fixing to eat our last meal. Came to this church for almost three long years behind on everything in quick foreclosure with our home and turned to the Word of God and say, Jesus, Your Word says if we follow You, that we will not lose anything, but we will gain 100-fold in this life and in the life to come. And I told God, I said, God, I mean, I felt like stealing some of the offering. It's been a long time ago. I mean, I've grew, you know. I mean, I was under a lot of pressure, you know what I'm saying? You ain't even got the money to buy, you're the pastor and you ain't got the money to get to church. You can't buy your son. You feel like less than a dad because you ain't got no money. You're in your own business. Now you're thinking, maybe I need to get a job. And then you think, well, what God's saying? God didn't, you know, in having to turn and say, I'm not doing nothing but going to stand and believe to see the glory of God in the land of the living. Well, I told God, I said, God, let me tell them. Let me tell the church. Lord, they will take up an offering. Just $20 would have been like $200. And the Lord, when I got done and I was just being real with the Lord, He said, I thought you had faith. I thought you said you agreed with me in the Word that I would supply all of your needs. He said, I thought you believed that. Now that's kind of a slap, but it's a good one. The Bible tells me in Proverbs 22, I can preach it to the church, and I can tell you how to get victory, but the same victory that I tell you how to get, I got to do it the same way. But the Bible says in Proverbs, it says, if you faint in the time of adversity, your strength is weak. I read that and I shut the Bible and I thought, I'm just a loser. I'm telling you. I shut that Bible and I thought, good Lord, if it ain't one thing and then God said something like that to me. Like I didn't know it, God. You know what that means? That means you quit in the middle of adversity believing God. You stop believing that you're healed in Jesus' name because they give you a report that says you're not going to make it. Or they put a label on you of ADD, DD, whatever. When I believe a wheelbarrow full of rocks and a half a mile will get rid of ADD. But God, I believe if I've got a kid wide open, I got a grandson, I think he wasn't barn running. But once he got, I've never seen him walk other than he was using it to get out of work. That because the doctor said you can't do nothing for 3 weeks right in the middle of our crop season. First time I believe I've ever seen my grandson walk. And then he'd come out there and he says, Papa, I can't sweat. I can't get in the sun. I can't get hot. And I said, well, you can't do nothing. Like that. Well, he was telling me because he ain't going to work in the garden. The doctors is giving him the excuse. But after it was all said and done, he's still about half dead in the third week of recovery when he gets to the garden. I see him on the bicycles. I see him up and down through there. I see him start running again. But when he gets down there and he comes down there and I told him, I said, listen, I said, Aiden, I said, the party's over. You can get hot now. You can get sweaty now. You're going to work now. What was I doing? I was gearing his mind for action. Because he had went through a little trial. You know, I've watched the boxers before. Teresa was big. I never was. But, I mean, we watched boxing. We didn't ever pay for it. I climbed power line poles and twisted our cable end. That was before Christ. That was before Christ. Every Friday. I knew we got free HBO and everything on the weekends. They had to, if they turned your cable off, they had to come and run a ladder up there and twist it. So I watched them. I thought, And so, anyways, you know, Teresa watching boxing. She's watching that boxing, you know, and boy, you didn't want to, in her younger years, you didn't want to be around her when she's watching boxing and wrestling because it's on. I mean, she gets her adrenaline, gets to kicking, and she pulls some of them moves on you. I'm like, listen, man, if I want to wrestle, I'll go sign up for the team. She told me one day, she said, I want to play football. I said, well, we can play tag. She said, no, we're playing tackle. And I said, well, I'm not playing. Because she just run across there like a heavyweight and just, you're good, don't get the ball. I would miss the ball on purpose. Whoops. Oh, we've had an adventurous life. Praise God. And it even got better after we got born again. But you know what I noticed about those boxers, especially after I got born again, and I quit doing that. I did. I quit stealing that, you know. And so I read in the Bible. How many knows that's a good place to be reading? He said, let a man that stole. And I thought, oh, God, he knew it. He knew I was stealing. God knew I was, I had no concept that God knew all about me. I didn't have no concept that the enemy planned to destroy my life before I came to Jesus. I didn't have no concept that he was going to try to do everything that he could do to my life while I was surrendered to him that would hinder me after I got born again. I didn't know that. But after I got born again, I thought, man, I told Teresa, I said, we were destined together. I didn't know. I said, I knew it, but I didn't know it. And Satan used everything he could do to get a lot of things in our past so that we couldn't go forward in our future in Jesus Christ. Well, he lost. We've been married for 40-something years. And I've forgotten now, so many. 40. 40 years. And there's times, and I'm talking to you, I'm not just telling you my story. God has a plan for you that you've not even imagined. God wants to use you and bless you while he uses you. That's why Satan wants you inactive. Satan wants you sitting back wishing that life would get better for you. That life would get better for you. Maybe one day it'll get better. Maybe, no, you got to get up and you got to begin to declare from your Bible, this is the day that the Lord has made and I will get up and wash the dishes and be glad. I'll get up and wash his clothes for the 41st year and I'll rejoice. Thank you, Lord, that I've got a washing machine to wash them. Thank you, Lord, that I've got a nail gun to go to work. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you got to get up and begin to declare what the Lord said over your life so that the plans of God will begin to... I put it on there, and I thought, that's pretty bold for me to put it on there. But I'm sick and tired of hearing about and seeing a defeated body of Christ anywhere. I'm tired of it. If they need to come here and can't get in, tear the roof off. We got the money to fix it. We'll fix the roof. Bring them. I was preaching on the street. See, where you get your boldness is in your union with the Lord. And you read the Word because you're in union with the Lord. You're just every day, God, thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you that you saved me. I thank you that you're in my life. That's your union. It's not hard. It's not figuring out what to say to please God. Nah, you trusting in Him pleases Him. Faith pleases God. Without it, you can't. That's why Satan wants you without faith. Faith comes through the Word of God. Somebody told me one time, I was on the streets preaching, and I don't really know what I was preaching. I just preaching healing, I guess. I don't know. I've been believing it for 30-something years because that Bible, every time I read it, it says the same thing. It ain't changed. I've seen the church thing change. I've seen the government change. I've seen the culture change. I've seen Christians change, and I have felt like a stuck-in-the-mud Christian because I won't change. If the Word says I'm healed, then that's what's coming out of my mouth. If the Word says I'm blessed going in and out, I might be so broke I can't even think about that happening, but I'm going to believe it and I'm going to keep saying it, and praise God, hallelujah, it's going to come to pass in your life. God is not a respecter of person. It's not because I have worked so hard. It's not because God's doors has been so good to me. I told Teresa the other day, I said, we have to give God glory. I was talking about me and her. We have to give God glory because garage doors failed us. The government failed us. Banks failed us. Money failed us. People failed us. I said, but God didn't. I'm telling you right now, God never sleeps or slumbers. He's not weak and weary in battle. Hallelujah. Preaching on the streets down there and just, you know, don't even know what I'm doing, Johnny. All I know is I asked my pastor, I said, how do I get a message? I don't know how to get a message. Nobody else knew it. I get up around the anointing, it looks like I know everything. And I get down and I'm like, that was pretty good, man. Phew, that was, man, glory to God. I wish that'd start again. I'd like to do that again. Why? You're giving God glory because you know what just happened. That's the way it is with you when you're after Him. He makes you look good. He makes you desirable to other Christians. Hallelujah. Well, I'm preaching, you know, and I didn't know about 5 or 6 blocks away, there's a bedridden woman. I didn't know it. But you know what? She's opening her windows every Friday night, and I put up loudspeakers, and you can hear it bouncing off blocks, off of buildings, the preaching of the gospel. You could hear it. Well, she keep hearing it, and she told some of her kids or grandkids or something, she said, I've got to get out there on that street to that preacher man. I want you. So they worked her a bed in a van. And they put her in that van, and they come up and they brought her out to that street meeting. Now she's been bedridden for a long time. And that's the end of her rope in the natural. It's never going to change. She's an older woman. And so they come over there and they tell me, and we're fixing to start just a couple of minutes, time for the service to start. And one of them come over there to me and they said, hey, we brought, or whoever it was, grandmother seems like, and she wants you to lay hands on her. She's bedridden. She wants to come off of that bed. And I looked at my clock and I thought, man, I ain't got time for this. We start at 7. Well, I just always felt like if I told everybody we started at 7 and we wait till 7:15, then I'm a liar. That's the way I've always felt. If I say 7:07, I'm not waiting on 18 churches that's running late to get there. You're going to miss out on the meeting. Well, anyways, I was like, oh, man. So I took off running. I was 28. Man, I run across that parking lot. I grabbed that lady by the foot. I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed. And I turned around, praise God, and started back across there. And before I could get to the microphone, that woman come out of that van and outran me and grabbed my microphone and began to testify of how God had just healed her. Well, what I'm telling you, what are we supposed to do? Tell them, stay under hospice and let's keep you comfortable and give you some dopamine. So that shuts your lungs down quicker and you don't suffer. No, we ain't going to do it. Not the church. It's not dopamine. Y'all know what it is. I don't. Morphine. Yeah. Told Mom one time, Mom, she bedridden in there. And I said, hey, Mom, I said, are they giving you any of that morphine? Well, I need it. But no. I said, that's going to kill you early. Don't get no morphine. Y'all didn't know that, did you? See, the Lord does. He knows. That woman outrun me over there, hallelujah. She's older than any of y'all in here. Bedridden. Give up, this is it. And you know what? Over the course of time, I would tell her, get in that Bible, get in there. Get in there and get that Bible. Read that Bible. Meditate on that Bible. You know where I got that? Out of the Bible. Joshua 1:8. God told me when I felt like I would never go anywhere, do nothing, couldn't run a business, own a business, I was a failure at everything before Christ. And when I come over in Christ, then those, my past, keep trying to tell me, you're nothing but a failure. You failed at this, and you failed at this, and you did this, and you did. That's why I believe the Apostle Paul that was killing Christians said, forgetting those things behind. I pressed toward the mark of the prize of the high. I believe Paul had to confess to himself that God had made a new creation out of him, and he what? He didn't kill any of the church. Hallelujah. See, there's no power struggle between you and Satan. If you're born again, he's lying to you. He's got you believing that. And if you believe him and believe that lie, that's why you got to have the Bible. You've got to have the truth. And the truth you know will set you free if you continue in it. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free from what? You're already free from sin. If you give your heart to Jesus, you're already, what else are you going to be set free from? Poverty. Came into church and somebody asked me, they said, you got any groceries left? And I said, no, we don't have no groceries left. Somebody walked into church and handed me a wad of money. I just stuck it in my pocket, you know, and I never forgot about that. And so somebody asked me in the church this morning, they said, do you have any food left? And I said, no, and we're going to talk about that. Why did we have? Anyways, later. And I said, it was all gone. I looked at them, I said, we should have had some left. I said, but we didn't. And I started walking off, and the Lord said, why don't you buy them some food? And I said, well, why don't I just do that? So I just turned around and just bought them some food. You know? Yeah, Pastor. No, think back what I've been saying when I was 27, wondering if it would ever work for me. And telling God, I want to be a blessing one day. I want to bless people. I want to be able to help people, God. And tried to get my mind off of all I didn't have. I didn't have a house. I didn't have a car. I didn't have no pontoon boat. I didn't have all of these things that I didn't have that I thought that I would enjoy. You know, I put those by the side of Luke 6:33, he said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to your life. Satan tries to turn it around and get us to seeking all those things instead of the kingdom. Because Satan knows that he'll carry people a lifetime and they can't attain to one move of God in their own ability that God can do in one move and change your life forever. You know what? I put his kingdom first. I've had pontoons, cars, boats, houses. I've gave house and land away, Man Teresa has. We sold it. Four-wheelers, dirt bikes, mini bikes, electric chairs, wheelchairs. And when I would give it to them, I'd tell them, you ain't going to need it long because the resurrection's going to hit your house. Somebody told me one day, they said, you better get you some crutches and put in your closet because you know that's what old age does to you. My closet's not going to have crutches. I don't need them. I'm not preparing for crutches. You don't prepare for crutches. The Lord spoke this to my heart, dropped it in my heart years ago. I was talking to two guys, and it was during the time of 2007-08. And when everybody went through, if y'all don't remember, you was asleep. Fuel was $5 a gallon and all of that good stuff. Y'all remember? And Satan come whispering in the ears of God's people, you know, you can't afford nothing now. You can. A guy come to me and he said, look, he said, you're going to have to sharpen your pencil if you're going to get any work during these times. I looked at him and I said, I can't find that in the Bible. I said, there's nowhere in the Bible that it tells me to go by fear. To go sharpen my pencil and get down. It's better to make 50 cents than it is to make $1.50. There's nowhere in my Bible where it says everything's going good. Just come on, pray God. When it gets bad, just sit down and wait till it gets good again. I couldn't find it in the Bible. Well, you know what? I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, what do I do in this? He said, go up on your prices. I thought, oh my God, now you're trying to get me in fear. They was trying to get me in fear that way. Now, God, you're telling me something. No, he was causing me to face what was already there. And so I thought, okay, but God, whatever the Lord says. Well, that's what his mama said, ain't it? Whatever Jesus said, just do it. Whatever he says, do it. Well, I thought to myself, I thought, you know what? This has got to be God because this is contrary to everything that I think I need to do. So I went up, Johnny, and I'd give people a price and they'd be like, well, you're hiring another guy, but I'm going to use you. Well, you hire another guy. I prospered throughout when I began to structure myself on the Word of God. He began to bring me out, and you know what? I didn't lose nothing, but a garbage dumpster is all I lost out of that two and a half or three-year trial. So if your trial's a little long, hang on, baby. If you're having to walk the Word of God out, praise God, don't lay it down. Take the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6, that quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. He'll stop all the devil's lies coming into your mind. I was thinking about Adam and Eve this morning. In Genesis chapter 2, God placed Adam in the garden. And God commanded Adam. He said, don't eat of this tree. He said, eat all the rest of them, but don't eat of this. He commanded him. And, you know, of course, if we are the men of the house, then we are the leaders of the house. And then if God tells me to start a church, I'm going without my wife unless he tells her. That's what happened. I went to God. I said, she's not going. You ain't spoke to her, she says. And I don't blame her, because I have been known to lead people out of the will of God. So I gave her to God, and I told Satan, I said, you will not control her thoughts. You will not control her. She's under my anointing. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord. And then I begin to praise God. I begin to say, thank you, Lord. I need her. She's my helpmate according to the Scripture. And I need her to go with me and be with me and help me pastor this ministry. And it wasn't too long. She come to me. She said, well, I'm going. God spoke to me. And I thought, glory to God. Hallelujah. That's better than I'm the man of the house and you're going to submit. Right? That's better than that dominating. To let God do it. And now she ain't never felt like, he made me go. And Satan, he made you go. That's why you're miserable. He don't have that tool. God spoke to her to go. Well, I was thinking about it this morning. And then in Acts chapter 3, he created Eve. And he made Eve for Adam, out of Adam. And yeah, that's Genesis chapter 3, I believe. Yeah, what did I say, Deuteronomy? Acts. Well, y'all figured out when you get. He said Acts. False preacher. I've had it happen before. He just quoting scripture like stupid up there and ain't even where he says they are. Well, you don't even know where they're at. Hallelujah. The effect of the word is not whether it's in Acts or Deuteronomy. It's in the Bible. Being obedient to it. Well, Here goes Eve, and the Bible says that Satan was more cunning than any other creature. Cunning. It didn't say he's powerful, because he's done been stripped down here and he's been through out of heaven and all of that stuff. And he goes to Eve and he tells Eve, you know, surely God. She said, no, God said don't eat of that tree there, that we will die. He said, surely you won't die. God knows. If you eat that, you're going to be like him. You're going to know. You're going to be like gods on the earth. You're going to know good. And she looked at it. She began to think about what Satan was saying to her. She began to think about it. See, I would have done got a divorce a long time ago if I would let my mind stay on her and her faults. And listen to him, you would be happy. Because I guarantee you, I mean, he can tell me she's got a long nose and she'll rub it. How about, look, it is longer than I thought it was. No wonder I can't get in there and get some good sugar. That nose. But he goes in there and he uses these cunning, deceitful thoughts to you, to get you out of the will of God, to get you not to preach the gospel, to get you not to believe what God's word says. But there's a remnant, and I believe you're part of it in this earth, that takes their Bible and says, "Black God, I don't care what my body says, God, I'm going to count you as faithful to the Word of God. God, I don't care what everybody else experiences, God, but you said if I would honor you with my finances, Lord, that you would open the windows of heaven. And God, I don't care what my body says, what my bills say, what my stomach says, what my kids say, what my church says." Teresa's sister was going to a church one time, and they was troubled because they give their tithes. And then the pastor went back to them and told them, "Look, you don't have to give all that. I understand you struggling." And sure, they were struggling. Why do you think God set up the kingdom? We are in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. He said he would supply all of our needs. You need a house? He said he'd supply it. All of our needs according to his riches. How rich is God? The Bible says the earth and everything in it belongs to him. See, but God's going to take you where maybe you ain't got nothing to a place of abundance, and you're going to buy people's cars and houses. You're going to be the blessing. You're going to be the one that God said, "Meditate on my word day and night. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success." I noticed that in there. It's in Joshua 1. You can go read it. And I'm reading that. And I stopped and I said, "God," I was 28 years old. I said, "God, it didn't say you would make Joshua prosperous. It said if he would meditate on the word day and night, that he would make his way." That stuck out to me. That wasn't normal. That's not normal when that stuff sticks out to you. Stop! And I thought. And then the Lord said, I said, "Why not?" He said, "Because I was with Joshua." He said, "I'm with you." He said, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." He said, "Now meditate on my word. Obey me. When I tell you to do something, obey me." He said, and then you will make your way prosperous. God spoke to me one time back 29 years ago, and he told me I was laying in my bed, and I was saying, "God, I've been raised in poverty. My dad and them did the best they could do, and they give us all that they could out of a big family, God. But I need to know, God, is this Bible right here, is it for me to prosper and have money and have land and houses? Is it for me?" And I told the Lord, I said, "And Father, it's fine, because if none of it is meant for us as Christians, I'll serve you anyways." And I'd heard that song, "Drinking from a Saucer. Lord, I ain't got no money, but Lord, I got you." I banned that song. I banned it. It's contrary to Scripture. You can't find that poor begging stuff in the Scriptures. That song is not based on that. That song is based on experience. You can't live by experience. You got to live by the Word of God. Deuteronomy 8:3, that's what Jesus told Satan up there when he told him, "If you are the Son of God," you know, Jesus was fasting, "turn these stones into bread." He said, "It is written." Jesus said, "It is written." And Jesus quoted the Scriptures to Satan, and God spoke to me way back under. He said, "You're to live by the Word of God." He said, "Teach my people how to live by the Word of God." If it says, "By Jesus' stripes ye were healed," 1 Peter 2:24, then get that Scripture and put it on your refrigerator and take your ibuprofen and say it out of your mouth. Bless God, hallelujah. It's just a matter of time, Lord, till my body has to line up with 1 Peter 2:24. Then if you ain't got enough money to pay your bills every month, praise God, get that Scripture out of Philippians over there, I believe it is. It says, "But my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches," and put it on your refrigerator, and you just tell your God that his word says this right here, and just tell Satan, say, "It's just a short period of time, Satan, until this is fulfilled in my life. I receive it, I believe it, I heard it, faith is in me," and God will do what he said he would do in his word. And bless God, it won't be many days hence. I went with Teresa. I know I'm telling a lot, but I feel like I'm going in a rabbit hole and out another one and back in one and back out. Teresa tells me one day, because I usually didn't go to the grocery store. I'm just a man. I don't like shopping for groceries. Unless it's go in there and get me a pack of Debbie's and whatever I want and hurry back out. Well, I'm in there one day and we're going down through there and I'm going around confessing I'm wealthy. I'm rich. I'm blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. And she hands me a calculator. I said, "What's that?" "It's a calculator." I said, "Well, I know that. What is that for?" She said, "Because you need to add all this up that I don't go over." And I'm like, I didn't like that at all, Johnny. And I'm going down through there and I'm like, I better not get them might cause us to go over. Better not get them cookies. Better just get a half a gallon of milk, not a full gallon, dollar and a half cheaper. Well, by the time I got up there, prayed God and added it all up, added the taxes up, and we didn't get what we needed, what we wanted, praise the Lord. And by the time I got up there to the cash register, I'm mad. I'm upset. Because I've been saying all this, and now here I can't get little Debbie cakes right there at the counter. And we walked out of there and I told her, I said, you mark it down. I said, not many days from now, in the name of Jesus, you will never have to have a calculator. And I went to my house and I helped my wife unload those groceries. I was thankful for them. And I went out there and I told Satan, I said, if you've got a calendar, you better write it down right now. You brought it to my attention that I am not believing for the fullness of the blessing. Now I realize that God is not coming short and I am somewhere. So I got Proverbs 10:22 and I got it in the frontlets of my eyes and it says the blessing of the Lord, and I put my name in it. Month after week after week, month after month, I would say it and I would say my name to it. I would make it personal. I would say, God, I thank you according to your word. You said the blessing of the Lord, which is an empowerment to prosper. You said the blessing will make Scotty rich and will not add no sorrow. And I receive it right now. I receive that blessing working in my grocery bill. I receive that blessing working in my workplace. I receive that blessing working in the church. There was a lady here that had plenty of money. And I'm big on finances. It ain't because I need your money. I mean, I don't need it. Fact of the matter, if you need a little, let me know. Well, I'm preaching on prosperity. I got a family here that God sent here and her husband, they found his marijuana buried in the ground, sentenced him to prison, and he'd give his heart to Jesus in the jail system before he went to prison. And they were serving the Lord. Time was going on, he's coming up, and he already knows he's going to get some jail time. You know, prison time, not just jail time. And so he brings his family over here, and he tells me, he said, God told me to bring my family over here. I said, really? I said, for us to take care of? He had two or three kids for. You're going to prison. The man of the house. You know, I don't reckon she would. Anyways. Anyhow, I told him, I said, well, I said, if God sent them over here, then God will take care of them. I said, God will take care of them. I didn't say Scotty would. Right? If God told that man, well, anyways, they're in here and bless God, and I'm telling them, give and it shall be given, give and it shall be given. And I'd bring it up in the messages whenever I felt the Spirit of God moving on me. Some of God's speaking that to you today. If you want more money, give more. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And everybody goes through, I can't afford to give. Every one of us goes through that. And we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we fear no evil. And then when we got little, we don't do it. We say, glory to God, glory to God. Well, this lady that had money catches me after church. I'll tell this and close. Travis sang longer than he should have. I like to get my 53 minutes in. Well, she catches me after church and she said, there's a problem. I said, what kind of problem we got? People think you're just wanting money. You're just after money. You're money every service. Money, 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 giving, tithing, money, every service. And so I said, well, I said, I hadn't noticed it, but anyways, I said, okay. So I went to the Lord. How many knows when somebody's complaining about you believing God and trying to teach people how to prosper and all that, and that you're getting on their nerves, you know, go to God. Go to God and say, I went straight to the Lord. I got on my knees and I said, Father, I'm sorry right now if I have done wrong. If I have preached that out of a wrong motive to the church down there and those wherever we're. Lord, I just asked you to forgive me right now. I said, and God, you let me know. And if I have, I said, I'll go down there and I'll tell them people that I'm sorry. You know, I had wrong motive. When I got done, he said, I'm on her nerves. The woman that was telling me that, he told me that he is on her nerves. And I said, that's not good, Lord. He said, no. He said, because I asked her to tithe and she's got plenty and thinks she don't need me. He said, she don't remember. She's been there. He said, she don't remember how it is to only have one meal left. She don't remember how it is or how to keep compassion on the poor. And the Lord told me, he said, I'm using you to bring them out. I said, okay, sir, that's all I need to know. So I went back to her and I said, well, Lord said, he's not got a problem with me. I didn't tell him everything. He's not got a problem with me. Well, the ones that was sitting in here owed money on their house, didn't have no money. Me and Travis went and put fuel pumps in their vehicle, different things, helped them out over the course of the time there and all of that. But while he was in prison, I drove down at different times and met and ministered to him and encouraged him, you know, his family was involved in things here and all of that. But you know what? In the middle of him being in prison and me preaching that and them bringing nothing to God, just what little bit they had, their landlord called them up and told her, well, you know, I've decided that you make one more payment on your house and I'm signing it over to you. Well, in the middle of him in prison and no money, all they were hearing was the gospel, was the word of God, and they began to give a quarter, a dime, a pencil. They didn't have the money to buy a 99-cent bottle of dishwashing liquid. And ever since they began to honor God, God got their house paid off. God brought them nice cars. God put them into ministry. God sent them to Mexico. God did a lot of things in them. And you know what? When they left this church, they tell everybody wherever they go, they would say, if you really want to learn how to prosper, go over there to that Faithway Christian Center over there in Bluntsville. Now, if I had not have preached that gospel, they would say, don't go over there. You can't get nothing from God over there. So you go based on the word of God. And the devil will tell you, I told Travis one time, he thought he had the voice, singing his songs, you know. And he's gonna YouTube it. And he's gonna get popular on YouTube. And I would tell him, I'd say, ain't nobody going to say they made Scotty rich but God. Well, you know, he had this dream. You know, I'm going to get famous on YouTube and all of that stuff, you know. And I'm thinking, Satan's trying to lead him down a stupid road. Stupid road. The Bible is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Christians are supposed to base their goals on God's will. God, what are you saying? God, which way to go? God, what are you doing? God, right where I'm at, God, you're going to prosper me. This job is not going to hold me back. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, you know what? I don't think you ever, did you ever make any money? You got some critics on her. His nose has got a big on this side. His ear's a little locked over here. His head's kind of huge in the back. His singing's good, but... And then he's out there mad. Blah, blah. Stupid idiot people. Stupid idiots. They're idiots. They just don't know what I am. That's my son I'm talking about. Well, if you're foolish, I don't care. I mean, it's funny, ain't it? It don't matter who it is. Hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. But really, in all seriousness, praise God, you shut that devil down. Go to your house, take that anointing oil, bless God. I mean, get people in here. Tell them in wheelchairs. You think I'm afraid they won't be healed? You get them here. Get them here. Get them here. Get them here in wheelchairs, stretchers, vans. Hallelujah. That don't make me no difference. COVID. We ain't scared of COVID in here. They demon possessed and flipping out. Get them in here. We'll cast the devil right out of them, praise God. There's a lady sitting here one night, and I was talking about casting. I'm not scared of the devil. I'm not scared of him. I take him up everywhere I go. I run him off. Well, sitting there, and I was talking about they're going to come in here demon possessed. They're going to come in here tatted up and earrings in their nose and everywhere else. You know, they're going to come in here, blah, 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 and if they bound by the devil, we're going to cast it out. And that lady, she raised her hand up. And I said, yeah, I usually don't answer to that. And she said, before you do, could you let me know where I can get out of here? I said, get out of here? Man, you're supposed to be helping me. The devil comes in, they're going to run out the door. Don't y'all ever run. Right, God, you get up and plead the blood of Jesus, let's cast it out and get these poor people free. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we pray.